Well, if you would, open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. So good to see all of your faces. Well, it's been a long ride. James and I were texting back and forth yesterday, and he had told me he had both the offertories planned and prepared to lead. And quite frankly, up to this week, I wasn't even sure if I was going to be here yet again. We were hopeful. And I said, "Nah, brother, I better take it. I feel responsible." And I thought what I would probably do is over the next few months, kind of take some of the offertories and just share with you some of the things that we feel like God taught us through this time, some of the things that God was doing during this time, and some of the things that God solidified during this time. So three things there. And one of the first things that I wanted to open up with tonight or today is just to say thank you to all of you. Thank you all of you for your prayers and your care and your concern and your sacrifices that you've made for us and our family. And it's a part of that that I kind of wanted to share today. I do believe for many years I just wasn't quite sure what my favorite verse was, but there was always one verse that always just kept coming to my mind. And Amelia, I'm sorry, but we got to share this one. But it is one of the ones that you will hear me quote quite a bit, and it's Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And it doesn't say flawless. It doesn't say perfect. Now, Matthew does say he wants us to be perfect, and that word perfect means mature. That is to say a mature Christian, a mature love. It's not the same word perfect that we would probably use in the world, that is to say flawless, because we can't be flawless. So a part of this verse that I wanted to kind of talk about today and share with you is kind of the journey somewhat that God has kind of taken us on. And I want to do it briefly as not to take too much time. But the one thing I did want to do, it would probably be impossible for me to write as many thank you cards as all the things that were coming in. And I just wanted to say thank you to the body, first and foremost. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him. It was years ago that Pastor Gary was preaching a message, and he says, "Do you love God?" And I had to kind of wrestle with that. I knew I'd been coming to church. I knew I desired the things of God. And as I wrestled through it, and I was like, "Lord, I love you." And growing up the way I grew up, there was a lot of carnage in my life. So there's a reason probably why this verse sticks out so much to me. Growing up, there was a lot of carnage. But God used every bit of that carnage to draw me to him. There was no accidents. So on the 17th, we go into the hospital, and it looked like the normal stomach bug that was going around. So Sunday, we go into the Wilson's Children's, and that night, Daniel was in real bad shape. All of his organs were starting to shut down. Kidneys were shutting down. Lungs were shutting down. Heart was shutting down. You could see it all on everything they're doing. You could see it. It was all shutting down. At this point, they realized he was going into sepsis shock, that the strep had gotten into his bloodstream. Same thing that Samantha and Johnny both had, but Daniel's gotten his bloodstream. How that happens, we don't know. It was God working in Daniel's life, and God working in our family's life, and God working in the church's life. And I'm going to make that point. So we go in the 17th. It's that night. Daniel starts doing really bad. And it is not like me to ever put someone that I know on a ventilator just because of all the stories we know we've heard coming off of those. I felt stirred in my heart at that point that I had to do everything that I physically could to try to preserve my son's life from a physical standpoint. It reminded me of Boaz giving the 6 measures of barley to Ruth. "I've done all that I physically can do, God. This is in your hands. I've done all I can do to preserve my son." He's on the ventilator for 5 days. What they didn't tell me ahead of time was this thing called ICU delirium, or that the infection even could have reached his brain. We didn't know any of this. And so they start talking about this while he's in the coma, and I said, okay, had I known all these things, I might not have even put him on the ventilator. But it was God's sovereignty that didn't let me know those things either, to take us through what he was going to take us through. So that Thursday, he comes off of the ventilator, but he's in the delirium. And it was probably the scariest thing I've ever been a part of in my life. It was by far the scariest thing I'd ever been a part of, seeing my son in that state. And having to come to grips with at this point, we didn't know if we were going to lose him yet still or not. It was still very touch and go. We weren't sure he was still going to live at this point. And so I had to begin to come to grips with, A, he's either going to go home, B, this is my son, or C, God's going to restore him full strength. And so at this point, I remember getting on top of that car garage there, seventh floor, found it by accident. And I got on top of that garage, and I just remember coming before God and saying, okay, God, whatever you want to do. If you want to take my son home, take my son home. I understand. I trust you. I trust that you're doing good through this. It's because of verses like this that we can have an anchor for our soul. Without verses like this, without Abraham and Isaac, without Paul at the end of 2 Timothy, without the word of God, we have no anchor for our soul. Amen. It was only the word of God through the Spirit of God that I even found an anchor. It was only God that brought me to him, that I receive him. It was the word of God that anchored me during this time, through the Spirit of God. Your prayers and your kindness and care was a comfort to me. And it was a strengthening to us. But I got on top of that bridge or the car garage, and I downloaded a compass and I faced east. And I said, okay, Lord, we're going to trust you. You're either going to take my son home or this is my son now. I don't even know where to start with this. You're going to have to lead us through this. You're going to have to shepherd us. You're our good shepherd. You're going to have to teach us how to lead in this state. Basically, and he was an invalid at this point, not in his right mind either. And I said, or you're going to restore him. I said, God, either way, I'm going to trust you because of verses like this. And it's always been this verse that for whatever reason, God always brings me back to. And he causes all things to work together for good no matter what. Not because we're flawless, but because I know I love him. Even that, he loved me first. He taught me how to love. You know, Scripture tells me he taught me even what love was, but I know I love him because of who he is and everything he's done in my life, but not only in my life, but in all of Scripture and all of mankind's life. There's no one like him. So we come out of the delirium Christmas Eve morning. I call Pastor Gary and I thought, wow, what a Christmas present. My son came out, and I kind of came to a point where the Pool of Bethesda, I said, do you want to get well, son? We had finally had enough time of redirecting, and I felt stirred again. Now's my time to take a stand. So I got pretty firm with him at this point, and I said, do you want to get well? And I'm thinking about the man at the Pool of Bethesda. And all the way in the back of his mind, he goes, shoo, and he comes out. And he says, Dad, I'm here. I'm here. I said, son, let me show you what's going on. So I start showing him all the tubes. I said, put your hands on your chest. Put his hands. I said, don't move. He don't move. So I show them everything. That moment, they take us down to the fourth floor. From there, the lungs have still been an issue, and Daniel is still recovering from pneumonia, which is a pretty severe case of pneumonia. I still had to argue with him not to be here today. The kid told me he was coming to church, which shows his heart. And it was that heart that I knew that if God so chose to take him home, that it was okay. So one of the things I wanted to share with you today, even as we were leaving the hospital Thursday, we were in there for 18 days, we were leaving, and as I'm telling God thank you as we're leaving, there was a part of my heart, it was a quiet moment. There was different moments when I would have quiet moments with the Lord, and I felt stirred in certain ways. And then I would make a decision, and then I would see God's direction all through it. But I knew he was stirring my heart. And As we were leaving, it's like Dan wanted to let the balloon go because it kept. He wanted the windows down, and I don't blame him. He goes, let's just let it go. So we're looking up at the sky trying to find it. And it was like at that moment, it was like God was talking to me and I was talking to God, and I can't fully nail it all the way down. But I said, God, you were good even if my son didn't come home. And I felt like I had to tell God that. Because the day may come where we all have to bury one another at different times. It's not something we look forward to. But 1 Thessalonians 4 tells me that I'm going to see my son again because he's made a decision for the Lord. And that's why the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, one of the reasons why it is so important, not only does he rescue us from our sin and restore us to God the Father, but he restores us to one another. Because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation and redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. So one of the things I wanted to share with you guys today was he was doing good in Daniel's life. Through this time, Daniel's had to come to some grips with some different things he was going through. And to the point to where, and I'm not sure if he wants me to share this yet or not, but he says, Dad, I feel like I got to come back to this hospital and preach to every one of these kids. I got to be a chaplain here. I got to do something. I feel like God's calling me, Dad. He says, I was beginning to move away. He said, God knew I needed this to bring me back to him. And I said, son, you've always heard your parents tell you that God was good, God was faithful, this and this and that. I said, but you've got to experience it now, son. And so we had a lot of good crying times. God was uniting Michelle and I, and he was beginning to teach us different things through it, and I'll continue to share some of those as we go. The other thing God was doing was uniting this church. Every so often we'll have situations like this come up. People will get deathly ill or sick or will go through difficulties in this church, and brothers and sisters, strap up, because we go through things like this quite often. I hate to say it, but it's a part of how God uses and grows the church together. God, there's a lot of new people. You guys have been coming into the church. You've been coming, you've been visiting, you've been coming. God was using this time to unite the church and beginning to say, you know what, you may come from this point of view or you may come from that point of view. You may come from this side of town. You may have this, you may have that. Who cares? God was using, when one hurts, we all hurt. And God was using the suffering of Daniel and us at this time to draw all of our hearts together to be united in Christ. And those are some of the good things that I just wanted to share with you this morning. The work he was doing in his life, our life. He's uniting the church body, brothers and sisters. And I praise God for that. And you'll hear me say this quite often. God knows the right recipe and the right ingredients to create the right dish to put on the table to serve. And he knew the right recipe for us as a church at this time, in Daniel's life, in our family's life, and in our life as a church, to create the right dish to make us presentable and to be a blessing where we are today. So I praise God. There's no one like him. He causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That is true, will always be true, will never change. And even if God had called my son home, God was still going to work his good, perfect plan in our lives, in the church's lives, in my son's lives, to do a good work. At this time, God was doing a different work. He was growing Daniel, he was growing us, and he was growing all of us together. So praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to give you thanks today from the pulpit, because Lord, you deserve it. You're an amazing God. You're, as John say, books, words, scrolls, pens could not contain just how great you are, how merciful you are, how kind you are, how good you are, how powerful you are. Lord, there's no one like you. I can't express this enough. Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing in my son's life, in my family's life, in our life, and in this church's life. Lord, I felt the love of the body coming together. You know, that's been my prayer. I shared this with Pastor Gary. I've been praying for unity in the church. Lord, thank you for answering my prayer. Lord, strengthen us for these days ahead to love one another, to give grace to one another, to minister to one another, to wash each other's feet, Unite us together as one body, one family, to glorify and praise you, being patient with one another, as we're all growing through different things. Lord, I'm sorry for the many times I haven't been. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to teach me these things. So, Father, my prayer is that you continue to grow us closer together and unify us in the gospel of your Son. Strengthen us in these days ahead to just glorify you in the best way possible in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.